Good morning, good morning. I thought I was just thinking this morning that, you know what I was thinking that we should do? You know how at, when I was in, I think primary or secondary school, if you came late to class, they'll put you in the late comers corner. So I think what we're gonna do is, as a church, we'll have like a designated area, late comers corner, and we'll make all the chairs there red. Does anyone know where we buy red, where we can get red chairs? Put up red. Then we'll now put a label on the floor. I came late. But I'm not going to do that because I'm such a nice pastor. We don't do those sorts of things here. Anyway, just so happy that you're all here this morning. Yeah, it's been an interesting one. I just woke up this morning and I realized that we're nearing the end of January already. And what I've been doing for the past couple of days is really reflecting into what God has for us as a church. I know that over the past few weeks, I asked us to give me like feedback around what you thought last year was like. We gave out some forms. And even if you didn't get the forms, to just speak to me personally as well around what was it about last year that you really liked? What is it about this year that you would like us to do as a church? And what would you like to do as an individual? So I've just been reflecting on all the conversations that I've had with people. I'm still gonna have some further conversations this week. And the view is that by the end of January, we'll have like outlined all the things that we're going to be doing as a church. And yesterday I spent like just time reflecting and I just began to write what I believe God wants us to do, and some of the ideas that we have as well. Now, all this is focused on a number of things, and it ties into our topic today. You know, I come across a lot of people all the time, young, middle-aged, like really old sometimes. I remember we were at a place that we go to every month to do like a hymn service. And there was a woman sat across from me. It's like a retirement home. And she was saying, oh, Pastor Benson this, Pastor... And, you know, we're just talking normally. And, you know, these folks have, like, loads of stories to tell. Some of them were in the fought in the Second World War, like, properly, not like in the movies. All sorts of stories which I, like, really enjoy. And the person in front of me last week just said, oh, I'm going to be 94. And I was like, 94? Are you like 93? She said, yeah, she's 93. And I began to look at everyone that was sat there. Some of them were 90 something, 90 this, 90 that. And why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because they had stories to tell. And what I don't want us to do is to wake up one day and you and I are 93, 94, and we look back and we're like, oh my goodness, how I wish I'd been able to do this. How I wish I had put in a little more effort to do this and that so that my life would have turned out this way or I would have experienced this with God. I don't want us to be in that scenario at all. So that's why it seems like sometimes I'm always like, does your life count? This is what God would have you do. You're important to God and all that. So one of the reasons why I'm like really hot on that topic about you having a fulfilled life in the context of God and even in the context of your own life, so that we're not just coasting through life, which is very easy to do. There are times that I coast as well. But I have to kind of like snap myself out of it and say, Pastor B, stop coasting. Stop coasting. Be intentional about your life. Do you understand? Because life is fleeting. It just goes that way. You're just going to excuse me for saying this. I was telling my son, and apologies for this. I said, do you know that it was his birthday this week? And I was just thinking that I remember 20-something years ago. when he was born. In fact, I was in the delivery room, by the way. I didn't say I helped to deliver the baby, but I was there. Actually, I was there. So this guy got delivered and they gave him to me. It was 20-something years ago. And I remember that day as if it was yesterday. Then I carried him a few days later in this baby car seat thing into the car. We took him home. Do you understand? It was like it was yesterday. It was like it was yesterday. And now he's a lot taller than me and he's like, you know. Do you understand? Life goes just like that. It goes just like that. And I don't want us to have a life that goes just like that without having been totally intentional about it. Do you understand? So this morning, I'm going to do the last section of our topic or our series, Does My Life Really Count? Does my life really count? And I'm going to be taking my reading from the book of John, chapter 4. I've spoken about this woman quite a lot, but we'll talk about her again today. So Jesus was was traveling on foot. And the Bible tells us that he had a prompting that he had to go through a place called Samaria, like a town near Jerusalem, I believe. And in those days, they walked. They didn't have planes and all that. Maybe they had donkeys. They didn't have cars. So in those days, they walked. And as Jesus was going with his disciples, he said, look, you guys go and get some food from the town and I will wait here. And he was waiting by a well. A well, if you don't know what a well is, don't worry. It's like you dig a hole in the ground, get water, and you use something to fetch the water out. In those days, by the way, they didn't have Tesco's or Sainsbury's. You had to go to the well to draw water. So Jesus was sitting there, and he was waiting for someone to come along. And this woman comes along. And I'll read John chapter 4. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about noon. So Jesus was tired. He had had a long journey, but it was really important to him that he met this woman at that well, and he was waiting for her. Now, he begins to have these conversations with the woman. General talk. She arrives at the well. Jesus says, oh, can you give me some water to drink? And immediately she begins to mention a number of things to Jesus. She mentioned some cultural things. Jesus spoke about some relationship things. He spoke about her religious views as well. So John chapter 4, 7 to 9, he began the conversation. Then she begins to highlight a number of things. It says, when the woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? For his disciples had gone to the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So, first of all, Jesus says, give me water. And she says, well, hang on. We don't have anything to do with Jews. We're Samaritans. There was this big, enmity and real fracas, if I can say, between the Jews and the Samaritans there. Long history. They had some squabbles. And she says, look, I shouldn't even be talking to you at all. You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Jesus now carries on the conversation. He now switches in verse 16. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands and the man that you're with is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Jesus now begins to talk about her relationships. And he says, look, you've had five marriages. They've all not worked. And in fact, the person you're with now is not even your husband. So Jesus spoke about relationships with her. He now goes on and he switches the, she switches the topic and begins to talk about religion. John chapter 4, 19 to 24. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we should worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks, for the kind, these are the kinds of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, Jesus starts this conversation with her. And I believe one of the things about this conversation is he's letting her know that, look, I know you. I know you. You know, people know different parts of us. There are some people that might know me as Pastor B. Some people know me as the guy at work. Some people know me as like that great guitar player and singer. You guys, you know, might not know me as that yet. So people know me as, some people know me as their father. Like my kids know me that I'm their dad. So people know different parts of you. But there are parts of you that people might not know. There are parts of you that is just you that knows that part of you. Because really sometimes it's nobody's business. Sometimes you might be a bit embarrassed about that part of your life. Sometimes you might be like, you know, nobody really needs to know that part. Nobody needs to know that side of me. Because if they knew that side of me, they probably might not appreciate me that much. Do you get what I mean? You know, there was a time at work, this was a long time ago, and I just started this, I'd been in this job for a bit, this is years ago, and there was this other guy, so I was in a team looking after a particular team. This guy was my colleague looking after another team as well, and he kind of like just started, and this guy could, he could really wind you up. We'd get to meetings, and he would be to me, oh, your team isn't doing this. You guys have forgotten to do this. Should you be doing this in this way? That's not the proper way to do things and all that. And, you know, I'd be like really civil and be like, okay, that's fine. Your opinion is valid. But we've done this, 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 and this. And the guy went on and on and on and on and on. And there was this particular day. I don't know what happened that day. I think maybe I woke up on the wrong side of the bed or something funny like that. And this guy now comes and he begins to, you know, say these things. Oh, you're not getting it right, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and all that. Do you know what came to my mind? I just said, I prayed a prayer that morning. I said, God, please, can you just excuse me for the next 5 minutes? I said, God, you know, please, just excuse me for the next 5 minutes, please. God, I didn't let God answer that. I didn't let God respond to me. I just went on the fire. I said to this guy, I'm not going to say all the things I said to him. And I just had a real go at this guy. It was so intense. I mean, I didn't use like swear words like da da da, but I really gave it to him. And he was so taken aback that he was in shock. He was like, you know, because I'm, generally speaking, I'm a cool guy, apparently. He was in shock. And it's like the guy almost fainted, I'm telling you. He was, so I told him a lot of things. I told him, you know, blah, 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 and all that. And he said, I'm really sorry. I'm, you know. And I just said to myself, after that, God, I'm really sorry. And I was just thinking that if they had played that video here, like if someone captured it on camera and played it in church here, you guys won't be like super happy to say that's your boss. So I just said, God, delete that part from the records, delete that part, that's not the part that I want people to be seeing. Obviously, I went back and I apologized to the guy, and he never did that again, you know, but I felt really sorry. So there's so many other things I've done that I might not be proud of, and there are a lot of things that I've done that I'm proud of as well. For this woman, Jesus wanted her to know that he knew her. He knew exactly what was going on in her life. And that was, I believe, the reason why he was touching on all these points. Some of them were very personal to her. Now, why did Jesus go through all this? Jesus, I believe, went through all this because of a number of things that he was about to say to her. Jesus told her all these things, or highlighted all these things, because he wanted her to know that, look, I know you. I know where you are at in life at the moment. But the thing is this, Jesus did not judge her. He didn't say, oh, Pastor B, the way you blasted that guy, you know, that's very unbecoming. I'm not quite sure, you should be. He didn't judge her at all. You know, I met someone in the city center once. So once in a while, we'll put our stand in the city center, put our flyers there, sometimes put chocolate there so people come, they ask us questions about God, about the church. And I was speaking to this girl. We spoke for a long time. And we're talking about church. But the summary of the whole story was this. She said, do you think God would even want to have anything to do with somebody like me? And she told me I did this. In fact, I did this at the club. Yeah, I just like, okay, you know, that's a bit X-rated. I did this. She was like really open. And she said, do you think God would even want to have anything to do with someone like me at all? And I said, she now said, look, let me go and sort myself out first. Then maybe God will be interested in. And I said, you are putting it the wrong way around. So a lot of us might not be in that situation at all. We might be just going about with our lives. But God knows exactly where you are, like he did with this woman. And at the end of the day for this woman, she just wanted to live her life quietly, simply, not troubling anyone, not wanting anybody to trouble her as well. Wake up in the morning, go to work, come back, go to Tesco's, buy a sandwich for lunch and Coca-Cola if you're allowed to drink that. Yeah, Coca-Cola is banned in my house. It's a contraband. In fact, when we go shopping sometimes and we get to the drinks aisle, if I'm with my daughter, I'll tell her, can you go and get something in that other place? Then I'll just quickly sneak a Coca-Cola there and put it in the bag. And she'll be like, Dad, what's that? I said, it's colored water. She just wanted to live her life gently and easy. Just come to church on a Sunday, sneak out before the service ends. Sometimes have some biscuits with it. And that day she met Jesus. So Jesus has the conversation with this woman. They speak. Then at the end, she did something. In John chapter 4, verse 28, I'm going to read to 30. It says, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony, he told me everything I ever did. Imagine this. This woman talks to Jesus. They speak for a while, and the Bible says she drops what it was that she came to do. She came to get water at the well. She puts down her water jar, probably tells Jesus, I'll be back in a second. She goes straight into the town and begins to tell people about Jesus. And the Bible says that a lot of people from that town came and they believed in Jesus. Now, this is a woman that had no philosophical, theological training. This is a woman that wasn't a leader in the church. I'm not even quite sure she went to church. This is a woman that probably didn't know much of the Bible, you know, looking at what Jesus said, her views were a bit off. But her life changed and counted in to her, towards her own self. She became another person. She became so excited that she went and she began to tell people about Jesus. So we're reading about her in the Bible now because her life affected so many people. When she met Jesus, she told people about him. So she became a blessing to the people around her, for the people who were experiencing pain, for the people who were experiencing all sorts of things. She brought them to Jesus and Jesus touched them. The Bible says that Jesus healed some of them. Their lives turned around because of this woman. Because of this woman. So, what am I saying this morning? I'm going to make a number of points. But I believe what the Bible is telling us here is this. You might be looking at yourself and you're going to excuse me here. I don't want to sound like my American motivational speakers. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know what I should do, right? I should get Sister Tisha on the keyboard so that for this part, I'm going to go American a bit. And you're wondering, what is American? What's Pastor B talking about? Well, this is American. Excuse me for 1 minute. So I was about to say something, but I'm going to say it in like the American way. And if you guys don't respond like my Americans, I'm going to just like walk out of here. I'm just going to walk out of here. So let me go. Oh my goodness. You guys say, hey, speak it, Pastor. Okay, listen. If you're not familiar with this, that's fine. When I say, just say, go, Pastor. Preach it, Pastor. We're just going to do this for a few minutes so that when we start a branch in America, Texas, to be precise, you guys can, you'll have practice. Now, God's going to do something in your life. Say hallelujah. You're special to God. Oh, can I hear it from here? You're special to God. Sorry, I think my voice is going a bit croaky. That's all the American I can do this morning. I remember when I went on holiday a long time ago to, I think it was Boston. That was like 20 years ago. And we were staying with my cousin. And I was like, oh, are you going to church this Sunday? She says, I'm like, I'm going to attend online and stuff like that. And I remember, I think, telling her, I said, look, I didn't come all the way from England to come out and watch church online. I want to go to a proper American church so I can sing and dance and do all those things that they do. But we had to watch online. So I was a bit disappointed then. No. So back on a serious note. For this woman, she didn't realize that her life counted at all. She didn't. She didn't think so. She didn't have any reason to think so because she just thought, well, I must have read the whole Bible, which if you want to, that's fine. I must know all there is to know about God, which is fine. I must be this. Then maybe at all, if I've ticked all these boxes, my life might count. So probably she thought that. But Jesus took her through a journey to say, look, even though you might be thinking this from a religious perspective, from a relationship perspective, from a personal perspective, all those things, although they're part of your life, not discounting it, they don't really matter. They don't really matter. They don't. Irrespective of where you are, irrespective of what has happened to you, even though God is not discounting it, Jesus is telling her that your life can still count. Your life still counts. Your life still counts. So, the question is this morning, and I will look at three things. How does she move from the place where she didn't think her life could make any difference to herself or to anyone around her? How does she move to that point where her life began to count? How does she move to the point where her life changed? How do we move from the point where we are to the point where we begin to see change in our lives and change in the lives of the other people around us, people who really matter to us through Christ? I'll look at three things this morning. And the first was this. She met Jesus and she knew Jesus. Two things. She met Jesus and she knew Jesus. She knew who Jesus was. Now, I'm going to read a portion of scripture here. Paul the Apostle in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. Paul the Apostle, he wrote almost two-thirds of the New Testament by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, it says, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, to become like him in the flesh. Another portion of scripture, John chapter 17 verse 3. Some people came to Jesus and they said, What is it that we need to do? What is it that we need to know? What is the most important thing in this Christian faith? Do I need to go to church every Sunday? If you can, yes. Do I need to pray? If you can, yes. Do I need to do all these things? If you can, yes. But Jesus highlighted one thing here. John 17, verse 3. It says, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom they have sent. Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. He now goes to say, look, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. So three things I'm going to mention this morning. The first thing is this, so simple. She met Jesus and she knew Jesus. You know, there are people that you meet and they're your friends, you've known them for years, but you don't really know them. There are other people that you meet and straight away there's a connection. You guys spend a few hours together, a few days together, and you can say, I really know this person. I know this person. So the first thing was this. She knew Jesus. She knew exactly who Jesus was. She knew exactly what Jesus thought about her. She knew exactly what Jesus represented in her life. She wasn't fuzzy about it. So when she came to the point where she really knew Jesus, it did something in her life, which is the next point. The next point was this. I'm talking about how do we move from the place where we're living life just under the radar to where we can begin to experience the real life of Christ that affects us, that makes our lives count to ourselves and to those around us. Number one, she knew Jesus. She met him and she knew him. Number two, she did something. She didn't just sit and say, well, I now know Jesus. That is fantastic. I'm just going to fetch my water at the well and I will be on my way home. No, she did something. Do you understand? She did something. Now, she might not have known the entirety of who Jesus was. She might not have known all the songs that we sing. But she just knew that this Jesus loves me. This Jesus knows who I am. Despite all these things, Jesus still appreciates me. Jesus knows that my life counts. And she did something. She went and she told everyone in her town about Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 28, 19 to 20, Jesus was saying this to his disciples. He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you till the end of the very age. So she went out, she fulfilled this Matthew chapter 28, even before Jesus spoke it to us. So she did something. She went and she told people about Jesus. She brought people to church. She did that. And the third thing is this. Because she knew Jesus, and because she did something, she brought, as the third and final point, changes to the life of the people around her. You might be like, okay, what change can I bring? Or what change can Jesus bring to the lives of the people around us? Or to my life? You know, the Bible tells us something in Luke chapter 4, verses 19 and 18. Luke chapter 4, verses 19 and 18. Jesus was saying something. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus came to the earth to do a number of things. And he began to say this in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, that he has come to set the oppressed free. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. He has come to set at liberty those who are bruised. Do you understand? So Jesus has come to bring hope, to bring life, freedom where one is oppressed. Oppressed in your mind sometimes. Jesus has come to bring peace to your mind, as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, verse 5 and 7. He has come to heal the brokenhearted. You know, people go through a lot. And you can tell them everything is going to be fine. Take heart. And that's fine. But there are things that Jesus can do in the heart of an individual that you and I cannot do. He can heal their heart. He can heal their bodies. He can set our minds at peace. He gives us hope. He gives us life. Do you understand? So, Jesus has come for you and I. He has come for your neighbors. He has come for your children, your cousins, your nieces, your aunties, your uncles. who have no way out, who have no thought that there's any help that can come from anywhere, who do not know that there is a peace that they can experience just with Jesus. Do you understand? So what am I saying here as I bring this meeting or this topic to a close? I'm saying that, look, irrespective of where you think you are, irrespective of who you think you are, irrespective of where you have been, irrespective of what you think about yourself, Jesus knows you. And in as much as Jesus knows you, Jesus is telling us this morning through his word that, look, your life can be, your life is valuable to him. Your life is valuable to him. And if you can allow Jesus to, let me just say, if you can agree with Jesus this morning, and as you go along in life, then your life that counts already to God will begin to count more in your life and begin to count more in the lives of the people around you, so that people will see you in the future and say, my goodness, I am so glad that I met you. I am so glad that you told me about Jesus. I'm so glad that you prayed with me. I'm so glad that I was feeling the weight of life and you told me about Jesus, and Jesus brought peace to my life. That's what you and I want people to be able to tell us. And you can say the same thing as well, that, wow, I'm so glad, Jesus, that I understand how you are. I know who you are. I know why you've come. So, what am I saying? All these things that I've said are really simple. They're not complicated. It's not, Jesus isn't asking you and I to do anything extraordinary. He's just asking that, look, why don't we, in 2025, make it our aim to know Jesus? Let's make it our aim to know this Jesus that we're talking about here. How do you know Jesus? Well, read your Bible. Talk to him. Come to these sorts of meetings where we can all talk about Jesus so that we begin to know him more. But you have to do it for yourself. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. I can talk about Jesus. I can show you Jesus in the Bible. But you have to go home and come to a personal decision by yourself that, look, I want to know this Jesus that Pastor B is talking about. I want to read my Bible. I want to pray. I want to really know him. You have to do that yourself. And it's simple. And once you do that, make a promise to yourself that as best as you can, you will tell people about Jesus. As best as you can. You don't have to tell them all this, you know. Just simply tell them about what Jesus has done for you. Tell them that when you experience pain sometimes and you hear what Jesus has done, it brings you relief. Jesus gives you hope. And as you do that, and as I do that in this 2025, we'll really begin to see that the little effort that we put in begins to count in our lives and in lives of those around us. Very simple, nothing complicated at all. So your life does count. It does. It does. Irrespective, your life counts to God. You know, I was like, oh, Pastor B, I think someone was telling me, oh, Pastor B, you make us so reflective on some of the Sundays. Tell us something exciting so we can, this is exciting, by the way. It is. But you know what? I am so excited for each and every one of us. Seriously. I'm so excited because I know that as we all make up our minds that we want to know Jesus together and as individuals, and we want to try our best to tell people about Jesus, bring people to church, let's get to know Jesus together. As we do this, we'll look back at the end of this year and we'll be like, my goodness, we had a great 2025. Let's rise this morning and let us pray. So this morning, it's a personal prayer again. So I've spoken about quite a lot this morning. And these things that I've spoken about, they apply to me as well. It's not just me telling you these things. These things apply to me as well. And what I would just like us to do this morning is just to pray and to have a personal moment with God and just really tell God what's on your heart. Ask God to really help you. And if there's stuff going on in your life, you're not quite sure what to do, Jesus is here. Tell him about it the same way this woman told Jesus about all the things in her life. God is interested in the detail about your life. So this morning, I'm just going to give us a moment and just say, let's just talk to God and just tell him exactly what's on your mind. Do you understand? He is here for you. Immortal, invincible, God only wise. Father, we thank you for your word. Who are we that you love us so much that you came and you laid down your life for us on the cross? And you have said that if you sent your son to die for us on the cross, how will you not also freely give us all things? Lord, even this morning as we make a commitment together as a church, that Lord, two things we're going to do this year. We are going to spend time to know you, the only true God. And that even as we know you, that we are going to do something, we are going to make a move, we are going to tell people about you, we are going to draw people to you the best way that we know how to. Father, I thank you. I commit your people into your hands. Lord, I ask that anyone who's experiencing any kind of pain emotionally, Father, your word says that you're the balm in Gilead. Bring healing to that in the name of Jesus. For those who are hurting physically, Father, your word says in Matthew chapter 8, 17, that you bore our infirmities. 1 Peter chapter 2, 24, by your stripes you have been healed. I speak healing to the pain on your left leg in the name of Jesus, just above your knee. There are times that when you're sitting, it almost like cringes up a bit. Father, I speak healing to that knee in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you will strengthen each and every one of us. And as we carry on with this journey, your word says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, that it is not by power, it is not by might, but by your spirit. Holy Spirit, empower us, strengthen us. Keep us on this walk, oh God, with you. Reveal Jesus to us. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name.